Sound of Hockey episode 207, we're calling this one the Magnus Hellberg episode. Why are we calling it that, John?
Well, Magnus Hellberg wears number 45. And
perfect.
If you add those two digits up together, that's 9.
Okay.
If you add 2, 0, and 7,
uh-huh.
That's also 9.
Okay.
However, that's not really why I'm calling it.
Wow.
That. I read a article on soundofhockey.com that was pretty cool. It gave some background story on Magnus Hellberg.
Uh-huh.
The one might say the third or fourth
depending
goalie on the Kraken.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Destined probably for Coachella Valley, but you know, he just played his first preseason game with the Kraken. And by the way, his gear looks dynamite.
It does.
On the ice.
It does.
It's almost too much, isn't it?
It's a lot. And it's a lot. It's a lot. But it's incredible. I was looking at it and I was like, and it looks even very different with the jersey, you know?
Oh,
so,
man.
Oh, my God. It is a lot, but it's fantastic.
Yeah, he's pretty proud of it.
Mm-hmm. So you talked to him.
Well, the story John's referencing is one I wrote today.
Right. Yes. Yeah. We're recording on Wednesday night. Andy talked to him after training camp on Wednesday afternoon. So, but it is a fantastic story. I've really loved those notebooks that you've been doing, by the way.
I love them.
Apparently people like them too.
Yeah.
We've actually had people tell me I'm loving this early Sound of Hockey coverage from you guys.
And
That's pretty cool.
Yep, good stuff there. Check it out, soundofhockey.com. Both Andy and I have been working really hard, and John, well, less so John, but
less so me.
Andy and I have been working really hard to put out lots of coverage on that, and follow us on Sound of Hockey, sound_hockey on Twitter also. Hey, this is Sound of Hockey.
I'm Darren
Brown, at Darren Fun Brown on the Twitter, joined as always by Andy Ide. Hello, Andy.
How's it going? I'm at Andy Ide on Twitter.
And John Barr. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody. I'm NHL2 Seattle on the Twitter.
And we are coming to you from Seattle, Bar Down Studios, to be specific. And we are very happy to be here with you in studio. And we don't have a guest this week, and we kind of did that on purpose because we feel like there's a decent amount of actual stuff to talk about here since the last time we recorded, just because of training camp and all that goes into that. So it's going to be a pretty Kraken-centric episode, I think, but I'm guessing the majority of our listeners won't be upset about that.
Not a lot of ECHL content this week.
Right, minimal to none.
That's always sad, though.
Yes.
Yep. We have a couple of reviews to share with you.
Oh,
the first one is
multiple.
A 5-star review. Yep. Leave your 5-star review in Apple Podcasts, by the way, if you haven't already. We'll read it on next week's show. First one comes from StinkyMitt77. It says, goalie gear corner with really long goalie gear and corner. So I think this person is trying to get me to yell it, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it. So
it is late at night.
Well, we might. It might make an appearance later in the show. So
cameo.
We'll see. I grew up in the Snoqualmie Pass area. I bet this person means Snoqualmie. a small trucking town called Easton, and now when I want to hear what's going on in the hockey world, I tune into the Sound of Hockey podcast. The guys are very informative and inclusive. It's good to have a Kraken-specific podcast, but the show also covers local happenings in the hockey community and what's going on around the junior level and the NHL. Unique segments like everyone's favorite segment, Goalie Gear Corner. Again, it's drawn out. I'm not gonna fall for it.
Okay.
Every time I listen, I feel like the guys are in the car with me, just hanging out talking puck. More in-depth discussions on certain important and fun topics would be welcomed, but time constraints are holding them back. Great job, guys. P.S. Looking to be an out-of-state intern if there would be such a position.
Wow.
Interesting. All right, well, we'll keep that in mind.
File that.
How does he know we're not in the back of his truck? Has he looked?
Yeah, it's like the call is coming from inside your house.
Yes, exactly.
Scenario.
Yeah.
The podcast is coming from inside your vehicle.
Yep.
Could be. You never know.
Nobody knows where
we'll
we are.
We'll pass on his review to HR, by the way.
Okay.
And try to, I don't know how we get a hold of him.
Yeah,
through,
I'm also kind of like, I don't know what we would need help with right now. But anyway, thank you for the review there, Stinky Mitts. Fat Kraken 66 is back again. I don't know how, is there a way to change your review? There must be, because Fat Kraken has shown up a few times.
Yep.
It says, wow, that's all, just wow, and 5 stars. So must
have, right
cool. Fat Kraken
right.
must have liked
right
our interviews the last couple of weeks with the old Czechs and with Alex Mandrycki. So,
did we ever hear that explanation? Remember, we had that one review where it sounded like the guy was talking to like his wife or somebody. And
it's a mystery.
Yep, we'll never know.
Yeah, man,
we'll never know.
I lay awake wondering.
You know who else is going to lay awake wondering what if? I don't know if you guys saw this, but Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run tonight in Toronto, which it's not really the record because of the steroid era, right? But it tied Roger Maris's record before the steroid era. And so that thing's probably worth like millions of dollars, the home run ball. And there's a guy in Toronto that was like leaning over the rail and it hit off of his glove and fell down into the bullpen.
Ouch.
Yeah, looked tough. So he's going to be losing
sleep. If not millions of dollars, he would have got a lot of swag from the judge.
I mean,
but it's not like he lost $1 million. He never had the million dollars.
Correct. But if he had caught the ball, he might have made millions of dollars on it if he wanted to. Yeah. So
if it hits your glove, you got to catch it, I think.
That's what they say.
Yeah. That's an error.
Yes.
In the old baseball world. Yep.
Yeah. He was stretching a little. Like he was leaning over the rail, but it hit like the tip of his glove and dropped down. Well,
sounds like an error to me.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk some Kraken stuff. We have a decent amount of Kraken stuff to talk about, as we mentioned at the top of the show.
Lots of Kraken stuff.
Yep. We've had two preseason games, which we got into those very quickly, I got to say. And man, camp is. Andy, I don't know how you're feeling. I'm curious how you're feeling right now, just physically, mentally, emotionally. How are you feeling?
I'm a little tired. I was a little tired this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Two back-to-back games. I was kind of secretly hoping the email would come out from Kraken PR saying practice canceled.
Yeah.
That happens in the regular season sometimes. I do a little victory dance.
We did get a text, and it actually was just that the first session was delayed 20 minutes.
There, but sleep in for 20 minutes.
That was... I was actually in the car leaving my house when I got the text. Yeah. And so I went back in because that actually just like based on how I had my day planned out, I was going to have like a little window of being able to do media stuff and not really watch that much of the practice. So I was like, you know what? There's no point. So that little bit ended up giving me kind of a day off from
they're long days. Like during the season when you go to practice, that's like an hour and a half or so. And then you do some interviews. But these days are pretty drawn out because they're broken into two groups.
Which we never had last year.
No.
Right? Because at camp last year, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, just how different things are. But last year was always one session because there are so few players in camp, right? And some days it would be a bigger session at the very beginning. But then once they made a few cuts, it was like, all right, this is a very normal on-ice session. The thing that's been interesting to me is not only have they been split into two groups, but also, I don't know if you've noticed this, Andy, but I just think the practices, and John, you've been there a few days too, the practices feel really different to me than how they felt in camp last year. Not only are they on the ice longer, and I think they're skating them harder, but like day one last year, they got on the ice and it was like, all right, we're going to do some 1-on-0s, some 2-on-0s, some 3-on-0s, and that was like the whole practice, right? And it seemed like they never really got that deep into things. This year, like day one, they were doing some systematic...
Much more specific drills and workout.
Stuff.
Like today, they did 5-on-5, but it was all about transition, the transition game, and... you know, that was most of the practice. And it was the exact same practice in the morning as it was with the second group in the afternoon. And I was sitting there thinking, like, I think I've seen this whole thing before. Like, I know what they're going to do next now.
Yeah, but it's different. I mean, everything feels very different. You know, I think the team has improved. I think the players know that the team has improved. I think they're at the salary cap. I think the guys know each other for the most part. There's a few new faces, but...
They know the coaching staff. They know, the systems for the most part,
And even they know the area, right? I know that's probably not the most important thing when you think about ice on ice success, but for the most part, having the comfort and not having the stress of like learning a new city. I mean, sure, there's new faces, but but I think that's also one element of it too. Not to mention the COVID thing is a little different.
Yeah.
Like you had to navigate that last year as well.
Right, and they never got to know each other, you know, other than like the little time they spent in the locker room together. Mm-hmm. And like Grubauer said something like, you know, guys were scared last year to get COVID because then they'd miss 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And so we didn't hang out together outside of the rink because we didn't want to give it to each other, whatever. Ryan Donato, I talked to him and did a story on him this week, which I also thought was pretty cool. So go read that. He said something like, you know, we didn't really have any inside jokes. Now we have inside jokes. Guys know each other. They know each other's families, which like that's a big deal, you know, to have those connections. So that exists now. It's very different. Very, very different.
The team has made the players a lot more accessible here this summer. And even at camp, I didn't know so today, but almost every day they've had a player signing autographs at the rink to fans after the practice all over.
Yeah.
Because when I left the other day, Shane Wright was out there with a big line of people in front of him signing whatever they handed him. So I think that's cool because we didn't see that. I mean, maybe at the end of the season they had a couple autograph days. But it's cool to see stuff like that. That fans dig that, man. Like,
yeah.
This guy that I walked out of the rink with who just got...
That's all COVID-related, right? Mm-hmm. The protocols with COVID, that's all. They loosened them up a little bit at the end of the year, but
And the media is now allowed in the locker rooms. That's,
which has been a fascinating transition for us.
You know, I, for a long time, have never had done that before because in the junior level, they don't let adults in with the minors. But
okay.
I see the merits of it now.
Oh yeah, it's different. And you know, and there's days when, so the way that they have it set up is they still ask, you know, the media as a whole, who do you want to talk to? And then there's like two or three specific players that they make sure are in the locker room when we get in there. And then everybody crowds around them and asks questions. But like after the game the other night, and I, again, I'll talk about this when we go through the games, but after the first game, Joey Decord had an assist and I walked in and I said, hey, Joey, can I talk to you for a couple minutes? And then he and I had a really great conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those kinds of things you could never do last year. You know, you could get your one or two questions in the press conference, but it's very unnatural, and so it's very different, and I do understand the value of it very much.
And the value for the fans, too, because, like, last year, I imagine if you read a bunch of different stories from the media,
Everyone had the same
quotes.
Well,
so, like, nobody else had that Joey Decord quote. I talked to Shane Wright earlier, just me and him, and so we were the only ones that had that quote.
Yeah.
It's just, you just get more out of it.
Well, and I'll tell you, as a reader, because mm-hmm. I read both your Donato piece and yours on...
All of his notebooks.
The notebooks, but the Hellberg...
Getting exclusive stuff.
Hellberg in particular, like, those are very cool. Those seem like you just were... shooting the stuff with these guys.
Good self-editing there.
And I don't, I'm looking after the editor.
Right. Thank you.
But I just think it's really cool, and it's coming out in your writings, both of you. So I think that's really cool. And I probably was naive to think that it would make that big of a difference. Like, oh, you know, what's the difference if they're at a stand? But it came out this week in both your guys' posts. And I think that made the content even that much cooler, because it was very unique and felt like you went deep with one-on-one with them.
People are more comfortable,
I think it builds a rapport,
you know, and that might be a COVID thing, right? It may be like you don't want to stand there and talk to somebody, and you know, I just, it's just different. Everything feels different, and it makes me feel good about the prospects of the Kraken, because I think that they have improved very much on ice. I think they're going to continue to build great relationships with their fan base, and that's where we're heading. So, man, training camp has been quite a wild ride already, and we're only a week into it. And to your point earlier, I too have felt pretty exhausted at times this week. Yep. It is something. We're burning the candle at both ends, and so are the players. So,
I'm excited they're on the road tomorrow night, but I'm not going.
Okay, so let's talk about these two preseason games that we've had. The first one was against the quote-unquote Oilers. I'm doing that in quotes because they're, you know, didn't exactly send their veterans.
The Edmonton Oilers.
Right. The second one was against the quote-unquote Flames, and that one had even bigger quotes around it because that was a full-on, like, AHL or lower team right there. But Kraken won both of them. Again, things are different this year because they're able to split into two squads. None of the players that played the first night played the second night.
Correct.
Totally different personnel. And yet, one thing that I thought was kind of a good sign is, like, you saw the two lineups they sent out, and both of them were, like, not that far off from being an NHL lineup, right? And you're like, all right, well, if you mesh these two together, this is a pretty deep group, you know? It's like, it's not just deep with depth players anymore. There's a couple of really good players at the top, and they could roll three pretty legitimate, like, lines that have a threat of scoring. So it's fun to see. I think on the whole, as we've mentioned, this team has definitely improved. We have Brandon Tanev is back, so he played against the Oilers.
And he looks pretty good.
Looks like his old self.
That's
He's flying around.
Great assist on a shorthanded goal.
And he created that with his speed, right? It was a shorthanded goal. He flew up into the neutral zone, poked the puck past whoever the defenseman was, and then came in and set up Geeky with a perfect pass.
It was a great shot by Geeky, but I think the pass was equally good because that one D-man that was back had his stick in the way. And I almost was like, I don't know, can he get it over there? And he found a lane to get it to Geeky, and then Geeky had a quick... It was a one-timer, but it was almost like a one-time wrist shot, I think. Yeah. I don't know that it was a slapper.
Yeah, he just kind of laid it in. He had all the time in the world there to score. Speaking of nice shots... anyone questioning Matty Beniers' shot needs to simply go away, because holy cats, what a shot that was on the opening goal of that game. He basically just, like, got the puck. Sepola, I think, was the one who made the pass, and it got actually broken up.
Deflected a little bit, yeah.
Reached behind him, got the puck, kind of, like, gathered himself, got to the bottom of the circle, bad angle, and... I mean, that was just an insane shot.
The way to shoot that puck in the way he did, short side over the shoulder of Rodrigue, I can't imagine how much room there was to shoot there. You look at the replay over and over, it's like, how did he get that there? And it was lightning fast. And the backhand to forehand, he collected the puck backhand behind him, and the backhand to forehand was lightning quick.
Yeah,
the
whole thing happened in a blink of an eye. If you haven't seen that sequence, go back and watch. Because I think how he got the puck was actually pretty impressive, because he kind of kept both hands on the stick.
Well, but that piece of it made it look like, all right, broken play, nothing's happening
right,
here.
Right,
and then, oh my God, he scored, right? Like, it was an unbelievable shot.
He's kind of amazing because, and we've talked about it on the podcast, like tempering expectations for this year.
Yeah.
And I think that's how the rational person should look at it. But, man, it's hard to be rational when you watch him. He does things like that. It's like, well, maybe we can get excited here. But.
Yeah. Well, that's what we said last year, too. It's like, oh, he's a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah,
like,
let's give him some time.
He's still a 19-year-old
and then, okay,
kid.
He scored a point a game almost. So.
He's still 19.
Yeah. We did mention the Decord play. I did. Okay, so that was awesome. He makes a saucer pass like 150 feet to Donato at the far blue line. Donato goes in and scores on a diving wraparound. Like, awesome goal from start to finish. Decord had just come into the game because he was splitting that night with Martin Jones. And like, the first thing he does is get an assist. I was mentioning I talked to him after the game, and we've talked to Joey several times, and he's like the most affable, down-to-earth guy, which is makes him so fun to talk to. But I was like, okay, so you're tied for the Kraken scoring lead.
Is that
what you expected coming into tonight? And he laughed at that, and he goes, well, the running joke last year was that I have a pretty active stick, so but I didn't have any points last year, so the running joke was I was snake bitten. So good to get that out of the way in game one.
You know what I love about that play, about his pass, it wasn't like the puck was dumped in and he skated it out, had some time to find Donato streaking down. He had just made a glove. He made a glove save and immediately put it on the ice and shot and made the pass. Like,
yep.
There wasn't time to think. He had guys bearing down on him. I think Reed Schaefer was bearing down on him. I think it was his initial shot. But this is how fast he gloved it, had it on the ice and made the pass was impressive to me.
Yeah.
How did he refer to it in your three takeaways this week? Like a tomahawk?
Oh, I called it that.
What is that?
The 10 and 2. People call it different things.
Okay. What,
so that was not him, though. That was Donato. Donato,
oh, gotcha,
when he was
gotcha.
Skating in. And he
oh,
did,
gotcha.
Because he kind of lost the puck for a second.
Yes,
and he pointed his feet out to protect it. So,
Crosby style, right?
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying there.
And right? people call that different things. I call it the tomahawk because that's what I learned when I was
That's right. Yeah.
So good game. They came back the second night, scored three goals again. One of those was an empty netter by Podorolski. And then the other two were scored by Daniel Sprong, who we need to talk about, and Jaden Schwartz, who also was the big kind of return to the lineup. I thought he looked good. That was also a shorthanded goal. 2-on-1 with Jared McCann, and they just were like toying with the AHL players from Calgary. So
I thought McCann was going to shoot. So McCann started, passed it to Schwartz.
He's usually the shooter.
And
right?
then it went back. Yeah, it went back to McCann, who was right in front
and
of the goalie.
And I thought
but when you look at it again, the goalie is kind of there. Like, I don't know that he would have been hard to score there. But he sees Schwartz has an empty netter. I mean, not an official empty netter. He has an empty net to shoot at. And he gets it back to him and for a tap in. Easy goal for Schwartz. That was a really cool play.
It was.
The Daniel Sprong thing I do want to talk about.
We need to dive in a little. So,
on his goal,
uh-huh.
the whole sequence was set up by Jagr Furkus blocking a shot in the Kraken zone.
Okay.
And then Sprong an odd man rush. That created Dunn kind of going wide and then finding Sprong. But Sprong's shot was
It was a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that, right? And that's the thing. Like, if you sign him, and I almost am like, keep him around, put him on like the fourth line, but then have him
off.
Put him. I mean, right? You're right. Who comes off the roster? And
this
that's
is what
the
we
problem.
Talked about last
this
week.
Is exactly.
And
what
you're
we
like Kuhlman's lock. Kuhlman's lock. That's what I'm like. That's the decision you need to make.
Yeah.
Do you take the chance on sending Kuhlman down to the AHL?
You know what I found interesting is I think it might have been you or somebody in Hacksaw's post game press conference asked about Sprong.
Yeah, that was me.
And he said, "I know he can score goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the question."
Yeah,
and that gets at what my criticism of Sprong is we all know he has that shot, but what else is he going to bring to the table?
Well,
and Hacksaw liked his game that night.
Yes.
He said he worked his game.
Ass off was his exact words, which I thought was a little bit of a potty mouth.
You know, funny thing about Sprong, because he does have that heavy shot, right? We saw that last year twice now in practice. It happened today, and it happened, I forget what other day it was. It was one of the morning skates
off the
where that high shot got up high.
Uh-huh. and caught today a goalie.
Today he hit Jones in the forehead.
Yeah, he hit Hellberg the other night. Yep. The other morning, high shoulder.
Yeah. And today, this morning, he hit Jones right in the forehead. Oof. And immediately put his glove up. And, you know, he and Hellberg the other night were, you know, shook hands and it was all good. But, man,
I heard a story one time. I think it was about, and I forget what podcast it was, and I'm pretty sure they were talking about Jerome Iginla. And it was a goalie. And he was like, yeah, I really don't like that you're shooting high all the time in practice. And he was like, well, if I'm going to score goals, it has to be up high and I have to practice shooting high, right? Which I think is interesting, but like,
some now goalies don't like that.
No, I certainly did not like that, right? But now Sprong has caught the goalies up high in practice twice, which is not ideal. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a conversation to continue to be had there. You know, he is working very hard. When they had that scrimmage the other day, he was hands down the best player in the scrimmage. I don't think that's even debatable. That was, what, five days ago. But it's interesting. I mean, he's on a PTO. What do you do with him? Does he take a two-way contract where you can put him in the AHL? I don't know. Maybe. But where's he going to go if he doesn't take it? So it's a weird situation.
Well, if you sign a one-way deal.
Mm-hmm. Like a $750K.
Well, it doesn't have to be $750K, whatever they have room for. He still has to clear waivers if they send him down, right? Even if he's getting the NHL salary, which he'd probably appreciate, but he can get claimed that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's tricky. I don't know. I mean, but the question is, if you keep him, who are you taking a chance on?
But he'd be a great guy to have in the AHL also, right? If you're not going to cut somebody,
yes,
put him in the AHL. He would be fantastic insurance to call up, you know. And man, we're talking a lot about Daniel Sprong here, but but I didn't finish my thought earlier. If you stick him on the fourth line and just make him like a power play specialist, right? Put him in that left circle and just let him blast away with that shot. Like, I don't know. I think there's, you know, he brings value, he scores, he's fast. The knock is that he doesn't play at both ends of the ice, so seems like he's working on that.
He's given himself a shot here. Yeah. I mean, he's off to a good start. It's early, but he's putting his best foot forward.
That's another difference this year is last year it was fairly obvious he was going to the AHL, or the bubble guys were actually probably more AHL players than NHL players that made the team. Remember, Shahan started with the Kraken, but then they sent him down early on to clear space for you know, some of the early rot. Like Yarncroc was in COVID protocols for a couple of weeks, I think. But this year's different. Like there's quite a few, like even John Hayden. There's a lot of NHLers high end, where last year, even Max McCormick, I thought, you know, even though I know he played in the AHL, I thought he looked like he belonged last night. You know,
and he played a few games in the NHL last year and fit in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's nice. But now we have more of those. Yeah. Right. And so even Gustav Olsson, I'm like, who is that guy? Like, he actually looks like he belongs. And he's played NHL games before, too. I know he was part of Charlotte last year, but it's a nice problem to have.
Absolutely.
It's also like there's just more depth all around. Remember last year when COVID happened and there were injuries, they had what, 15 guys in Charlotte to pick from, and not all those guys were worth call-ups. And like now, if all these guys we're talking about end up in Coachella and there's an injury to somebody, you know, knock on wood or whatever happens, who they're calling up now is going to be a stronger presence than who they were able to call up last year, because they actually have a pipeline of sorts now.
Mm-hmm. I did knock on wood. I don't know if that came through on the podcast, but I found some.
No injuries.
My chair, right. Okay, so the other thing that has happened here over these first two games is the Kraken have not, now take this with a grain of salt, because we already talked about the lineups that they faced. But they have not given up a goal, and all four goalies have played. So that's pretty interesting. They did have one squeak by Martin Jones in the first half of the first game, but it got waved off because of incidental contact. I actually thought if they had reviewed it, it would have counted, but neither here nor
there.
Did
you know, I don't know if you're, because I was watching the broadcast for game one, you can't review.
In preseason, right? That's what I wasn't sure if you guys knew that. Yeah,
but,
that was the first thing that jumped to my mind. It was like, this has to be reviewed. And I was like, oh, I don't think they review in preseason, but I couldn't remember for sure.
They, Edmonton coach, like tried to challenge it, and then the rest are like, no, you can't do that.
Because what happened was it hit, I think it was Noah Philp, the Thunderbirds, former Thunderbird, and it hit him and then went past Jones, and then he ran into Jones. So,
but they ran into him before it went in. Yeah,
but the contact wasn't going to prevent him from stopping it. Like there was no way.
But
Jones
is that how the rules written?
I don't know.
I don't really know. Should be, but
it would have been an interesting review.
We love goalie reviews in this.
We
team.
Sure do.
Yeah.
It's a good sign. And again, you don't want to put too much like stock in that, I don't think, because I don't know what kind of pressure they've faced and like The lineups have been a little lopsided both nights, I think.
I thought Grubauer hardly looked tested.
He didn't look tested, but like the few times that he, like there was a 2-on-1 very early in the game and he made a nice glove save. And I was like, those are the goals he'd let in last year. Yes, and deflate every, you know, like right away at the beginning of the game, they'd come down on a rush and he'd give it up. So again, it's one night. It's a preseason game against a crappy team.
And when I say he didn't look tested, I thought he looked, I mean, he just looks so calm. That...
I see. But he only faced 10 shots. Yeah. Like, he didn't. He hardly faced a shot, I think, in the first half of that second period. Yeah. So, it's, again, take it with a grain of salt. I think I said that already. But it's definitely a good sign that the goalies are stopping the pucks in the early going here.
It's better than them getting lit up.
Sure. It sure is. Yeah. And we'll see. Maybe by the time this podcast comes out on Thursday, they will play against a much better Vancouver team because the lineups look tilted in the other direction. So we'll see.
So one thing I do want to call out, you guys were at the games. I watched the TV broadcast for game one because I was playing hockey that night. Couple things on the broadcast that you're not aware of probably, or maybe you might not have seen it yet, but shot counts on the scoreboard, which is nice, like permanent, not just like a rotating, like, hey, FYI, here's some hits. JT was bit between the benches. I know you said that.
Saw that.
It's crazy that we're listening to Eddie Olchuk and John Forslund. Like, I'm like, you know, in my house, like fixing dinner or whatever, and I can hear them like talking like, holy crap, this is not a playoff game. And they're like loose and casual, like it's a regional broadcast.
Because they've done hundreds of games together.
And it's fun to hear them.
You know, I actually said that very thing to John Forslund the other day when we were at practice. I was like, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like, you guys got up on the Jumbotron to do your, like, hey, let's hear your Kraken Nation thing. And just realizing that, like, John Forslund and Eddie Olchek are in the booth. And if you turned on any national game and you have JT Brown between the benches, you turn on any national game, you'd be like, wow, what a crew we have tonight, right?
This is a big game, too.
This is just
like,
the norm.
This is the game of the week. The game of the week.
Unbelievable.
I still think that, like, how they work in JT, that's needs some time.
Yeah, and sure.
That's going to happen. But it's nice to have JT between the benches. We obviously know that might not be the dynamic all season because Eddie's got some national games. And I think even Forslund has some national games every once in a while. Yeah. So that will be interesting. But JT's between the benches. Good to hear him. They also had Ross Fletcher and Nick Olchek on one kind of table, and then Tom Glasgow and Allison on another one.
Oh, like, that's cool.
It was like, I'm like, this is the full operational battle station.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're all going to be there all the time, but it was pretty cool seeing that. And they all sound great. Yeah. Like, I honestly, they're going to add more and get more, be more dynamic as the season goes on. But I love the broadcast, the additions they've made, and it's paying off already.
I was sitting next to Forslund during the scrimmage in training camp. I'm not going to tell you what he said, but it was some of the greatest comedy I've ever heard. He was hilarious. Like, it was like more entertaining than scrimmage hearing him. He was kind of half-heartedly calling the game, but adding a lot of editorial.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good time. I almost wish we could have recorded it.
And then
there were some things I'm not going to repeat, but it was a good time.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll appreciate that you shared that. and a couple other things I guess we got to talk about. So the team has already made some cuts. Six of their players went back to junior teams. Jagger Furkus, David Goyette, Kyle Jackson, Jacob Melanson, Tucker Robertson, and Ty Nelson. No surprises there, I don't think. Jagger Furkus and Jacob Melanson were the only ones to get into a game, I think, right?
Yep.
And we'll talk more about Jacob Melanson in a few minutes, hint, hint. And then Ty Nelson, I thought he might get a game, but he did not. So anyway, I mean, no surprises there. They're all way too
Nelson,
early
we all like
him.
Nelson, but was he a fourth-round pick?
Yeah, maybe.
Or third? Uh-huh. I forget.
But he's looked good. Furkus, I thought he looked pretty good in the one game he played, you know. Looks very small.
Yes, I was just going to say, very obvious he needs to add some muscle. There were a couple times he got pushed.
Got hit pretty good.
Back to the backboard.
He got a good slam,
And there was a couple times where he was pinned against the end boards, like, pretty easily. The defenseman pushed him back there. And
just, like, picks him up with one hand.
One time he still had the puck and got a pass out from it. But, yeah, he just needs a little more size, and that'll come.
And the other piece is there's a mascot coming on Saturday. So they're officially going to reveal that on Saturday. It's going to be part of the pregame ceremony, I guess, is what they said last night. So
Yeah, and the game's actually at 6:30, by the way, not the normal 7 or 7:30 that Saturdays tend to be. So
worth keep noting.
I'm all in favor for. I'm always in favor for earlier games.
John, you have a specific prediction for what it's going to be?
Well, I think it's based on the hints. It's got to be the Fremont Troll.
I think so, too.
That's what I think. And we're not the only ones to think that. No. So it's not like we're breaking any news, but that's clearly what they're pointing toward. Don't you think so, Andy?
Yeah, I think what did it for me was the thing about the landmarks where they had Mayor Harrell, and he was like, it's got to be based on – Seattle has so many great landmarks. And then he was like, the Space Needle, the wheel. And I was like, well, it's not going to be
the Hammering Man I saw from the Seattle Art Museum or the Gum Wall. That would be kind of interesting.
Sure. Just
that's just made for a mascot, a gum wall.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Gummy the Wall.
Yeah. Gummy the Wall. He'd make a great goaltender, Gummy the Wall.
Yeah, so I like, oh, yeah, it's probably the troll. And then someone's like, oh, it's not going to be the Lenin statue?
Oh, jeez.
Interesting.
Can you imagine this goofy Lenin comes walking out with big head? Googly eyes.
It won't be.
No, I don't think so either, but I'm picturing it. It's breathtaking. So anyway, that's coming on Saturday. Yep, Saturday. I had to think about what day that was. And they also said Detlef Schrempf was on the first one that they did. And the kids, they were like, it's not going to be Squatch. We're not going to use Squatch as the mascot.
The Sonics mascot.
And the kids in the video were like, yeah, because the Sonics are going to come back one day. And then Detlef Schrempf was like, yes, the Sonics will come back, which I thought was interesting. It was a very definitive.
Do not read into that. Okay. Yes, they're coming back eventually, but like, let's not like.
I mean,
it's inevitable, but like, let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
I don't think Detlef Schrempf was breaking. It's coming next week. I think
fandom.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, obviously the Kraken ownership is interested and invested in bringing the NBA back.
There is
as well.
No insider information in that video. Yeah. I will guarantee you that.
Hmm. Interesting.
That would have been an interesting way to break news, though.
Yeah. They don't break news until the team is here. Yes. Like, let's be clear here.
What's the line that we heard 1,000 times when the NHL
was,
don't get ahead of the commissioners.
Yeah. 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 Don't get in front of the commissioners.
Don't get ahead of them. Yeah. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of Squatch, when I was a younger Andy, he rubbed my head once, patted me on the head.
That's disgusting.
Yeah,
I have been blessed with Squatch on my head.
Man, that's
gross. that's flat out gross.
Anyways,
all right. We have like a mini WHL update. Should I kick it over to you, WHL? Of course, it's not really all
if
WHL,
you want.
Is it? Yeah, it all kind of is. I think. Yeah.
I mean,
take it over. WHL correspondent Andy Ott. Hello, Andy.
It's always an interesting time of year. The league opened last weekend.
he did kick right into it, right? Like, he's ready. He's always ready.
He says hello.
At a moment's notice to be the WHL correspondent.
League started play last weekend.
Okay.
And the first couple of weeks of the WHL are always interesting because various teams have players still in NHL camps.
Right.
And NHL teams don't care about your lack of a roster at the start of the season. I've always thought the first few games were like an extension of the preseason, and you shouldn't get excited or disappointed by anything. Like the Thunderbirds locally here had about 7 or 8 players at NHL camps when they opened in Vancouver last weekend. They got a win.
Okay.
Grayson Sauchin is a name to remember. He had a very good opening game. He's a kid they got from the U.S. National Team Development Program. Convinced him to come to the WHL, so he had a goal and assist and a beautiful shootout win. So they managed to win without all their guys. But most of their guys are back now. We mentioned Furkus going back to Moose Jaw, and that's going to be a really good Moose Jaw team. It's going to be fun to watch him. They should make a deep run. But here locally, Reed Schaefer, who played here at Climate Pledge Arena against the Kraken.
With
Edmonton. He was Edmonton and Edmonton's first-round pick. They basically left him here, so he's returned to the Thunderbirds. He'll be there for their home opener.
I wonder if he brought all his stuff with him knowing that this...
I think so.
Because that would be kind of like, stuff still... We'll ship it to you.
Yeah.
The reason I think so is the next night I ran into Lucas Siona, who flat out told me, I'm staying, and the Flames made that official this morning. So he, coming in, knew he wasn't going back. So I would imagine he took stuff he cared about. Yeah. He was getting picked up by his billet parents after the game. Schaefer was interesting. I thought he played okay. Talked to him afterwards. Even though his team lost, he couldn't help smile.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a smiley guy anyways, but he was kind of excited by the experience. And you remember last year he played for the Thunderbirds there as CPA in that game against
Battle
everything.
Battle
of
the Sound, yeah.
Uh-huh. And he said that was no comparison to this. He's like, right. A junior game versus an NHL game, even if it's a preseason, that this was amazing tonight.
And they had all the bells and whistles going, and yeah. You know, it is different. Like, we went to that game as well, and it still felt like a junior game in a bigger building, right? Because it was still
run. It was fun, but it was different, yeah.
Right, but this is very different, absolutely.
And Siona, who took warm-ups for Calgary, said even warm-ups was different than that game last year. So he was like, it's an NHL game. So so those guys will be back for the T-Birds home opener next weekend. Jared Davidson is back from Montreal. He did score a really nice goal in one of their preseason games. Jared Davidson did for the Habs, so he'll be back. Jordan Gustafson just earlier this week was returned to the Thunderbirds from Vegas. So Connor Willett got traded, was sent back from Dallas's camp, so he's back in the WHL. Kevin Korchinski from the Thunderbirds is still with Chicago, played tonight and had a really nice assist. And is exciting. All their media and fans and bloggers are all kind of over the moon over him, which is interesting because at the draft they were all upset that they traded Alex DeBrincat.
Well,
and
I think people are still
and
upset
used
that about
pick
that,
for Korchinski, though. Yeah. A lot of them were specifically like mad about that. Olin Zellweger, the Silvertips, still with Anaheim. That's going to be an interesting watch. He's still young. He's 19, so it's either Anaheim or Everett.
But he is a stud.
He had an amazing World Junior Championships. Yeah. He was unbelievable. So there's maybe a chance he could stick. And then there was news, one of my favorite guys, just from a personal level. I had a blast covering him. He's a great kid. Turner Ottenbright signed again in the AHL with the Iowa Wild.
Wow.
Where he's played the last couple seasons.
Now that right there, like all the rest of the stuff you said a moment ago felt like, all right, we're getting a little into the weeds here, but it's okay. We're fine. And then you went to Turner Ottenbright and it was like, all right, we're in the, like, beyond the weeds here, right?
Otto's
we're in the marsh.
Kid, man. Any chance I get to talk to Turner Ottenbright, I will. And he's with the Wild.
Yeah, I know. He's with the Wild.
It's a minutia.
This is a little minutia.
It's a pro Turner Ottenbright podcast, apparently. Well, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the minutia has really been toned down in the last, I don't know how many months.
12?
It's almost like I don't pay as close of attention anymore as I used to.
You might not have the capacity to pay attention as much as you did before, so...
anyway,
I'm not happy about it.
It's just a thing.
I observe it. I understand.
It's just a thing.
Yeah.
Thank you for the WHL update, our WHL correspondent, Andy Ide. Appreciate that. We now move on to our segments and Stinky Mitt 77's favorite segment. Goalie Gear Corner! This week's Goalie Gear Corner comes from Mr. Craig Anderson. Heard of this guy? He's like 62 years old. He still plays for the Buffalo Sabres.
Hopefully you don't make him play.
That would be very disrespectful.
I mean, why would you have a guy on the roster and play him?
so many people don't know what we're talking
who
about
said,
right now.
Well, yeah, we should give the backstory. I forget who it was that said that. But I think it was Kelly Rudy, right?
Kelly Rudy,
yes.
Yeah.
Whoever the starter was got injured when he was playing for
Ottawa.
Yeah.
No.
No,
it was Washington.
Washington.
Right.
And I think
playoffs.
It was Vitek Vanacek.
First round of the playoffs.
And he pulled his groin, and Kelly Rudy was mad at Vitek Vanacek for hurting his groin because he wasn't stretched out properly. And it was disrespectful to his team, and making Craig Anderson come in and play was also...
Yeah.
He was the backup goalie.
Yes. It's literally the point of the backup goalie.
And dressed in gear. He had gear on. It wasn't like they pulled him out of the stands.
So speaking of his gear, he's no longer a Bryan's goalie, I noticed. I don't know how long ago he made this switch. He's a Bauer guy now, but his Bauer gear is the regular graphic that Bauer does, and it's pretty cool though. It's like a nice color combo. It's blue at the bottom with yellow at the top. What's interesting about it though, even though it's a fairly like straightforward setup, is that his 11-year-old son actually designed it. He said the original mock-ups that Bauer sent, he said looked terrible, quote unquote. The 11-year-old son said that. So then Craig Anderson was like, all right, well, go on the Bauer website and design me some new pads. So that's what happened.
They
so then
good.
They I do think, look pretty good, right?
Yeah.
But so then Craig Anderson got up to his press conference and somebody asked him about it. And he was like, my 11-year-old son designed it. So if anybody doesn't like it, take it up with him.
A lot of yellow, though.
A lot of yellow.
Yeah.
Yep. I love the fact that he let his kid do it, though.
Oh, that's awesome. I think it's great. That's our goalie gear corner. We now move on to Bad Boys.
Oh, what do we have here?
Yeah. I think this is a special Bad Boys,
this is a very special, really near and dear to my heart, this Bad Boys. Okay, so Jacob Melanson, we talked about him earlier. This is the first Kraken Bad Boys I think we've ever had, if I'm not mistaken.
It's confirmed.
Okay.
Confirmed.
Jacob Melanson got his elbow up on, I think his name was James Hamblin.
Yep.
And right after it, there was a bit of a brouhaha. All the Oilers players kind of gather around him. Mind you, this is the first NHL quote-unquote action Jacob Melanson has ever had.
19, I assume. Yeah.
They review it. They first gave him a five-minute penalty, and then they reviewed it, confirmed it, gave him a match penalty, which meant he was out of the game. Then he had a hearing with NHL player safety and was suspended for 2 games. So there you go. He plays half of
our
NHL preseason.
Yeah, our inaugural
Kraken Bad Boy.
Kraken.
Yeah.
Did he get a plaque for that? Should we send him a certificate of
some
sort?
Maybe. We should do something special in here.
Congratulations for getting your elbow up in that guy's head.
Yeah. Let's keep it in mind in case we ever like interview him down the road, right? Like if he becomes a Kraken player, like, hey, remember that time that you played half a preseason game and got suspended for 2? Now, here's the thing that I'm not clear on is how does he serve this suspension? Because he's now officially back in junior.
In the queue.
Right? So 1 game has passed. Was he suspended last night? Was that one of his suspension games? And then when does he serve the next one?
Right? Because I don't think it's contingent on
sometimes
if you would have been in the lineup.
It might just be regular season games.
Right. I think if you get suspended in the preseason, I think it actually counts toward regular season games. So it may be like, yeah, it's going to be like years from now, and they're going to be, all right, he's ready to make his debut. Nope, he's suspended 2 games.
Our records show that he owes us 2 games.
Well, if they, and I don't know if the roster space makes sense, but he has signed a contract. So he is under contract. But at the end of his junior year, they could call him up for the last 2 games of the year.
And just have him suspended.
Yeah.
That could be a good way to handle that.
I personally think the suspension should carry down. He should miss the first two games.
That doesn't make sense, though, because he's still...
Well, why not?
Because it's a different league.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, they have different rules. No, that's
garbage.
Overruled. Yeah. You're overruled.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't accept your overrule.
Sounds like you're appealing.
I strenuously object. Yeah.
All right. So that's our Bad Boys. We now move on to our weekly one-timers. Whoosh. Our first weekly one-timer. Whoosh. Brock Besser. Man, you know, just when you thought it was going to be, he had all these personal things happening behind the scenes.
Last year, rough.
Yep. And now he comes back. I think people are kind of expecting him to have a big year. And he still had a pretty good statistical season last year, despite all the stuff that was going on for him off the ice. But now he's injured. What happened to him, Andy?
He had hand surgery, so he busted up his hand, and they're expecting him to be back in 3 to 4 weeks.
So that's not terrible, but he misses camp. Always hard.
He starts slow, kind of, probably.
Yeah.
He has been a little injury prone since he's been in the NHL.
Well, he got checked into an open door.
Yes, I was at that game. I saw that happen.
That was dumb. I hate that they opened the doors. Anyway.
Yeah, door was open. He got checked into it and kind of like hit it with like
with his spine.
Flew into it and the back hit the one end of it. And it was pretty ugly looking.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you guys read it, and I do recommend it. In The Athletic, Michael Russo wrote a story about Brock Besser.
Oh, here we go.
What?
Minutia.
No, it's
Brock
not.
Brock Besser plays for Vancouver.
Who does Russo cover?
He's actually more of a national writer now, if you must know.
He's
still covering the Wild, but he's also doing some national stuff. I'm literally talking about Brock Besser.
Okay.
Okay.
Go on.
Where's he from?
Minnesota. He's from my hometown.
That's right. No, I know where you're
going.
The point is, the
story is really, I don't want to call it heartwarming. It's kind of quite the opposite because it's just everything that he went through, and he really opened up about everything that he was going through and what happened with his dad, Duke. And, you know, Duke is a guy that I remember. He was around the rink at all times growing up. And so he was a very nice guy. That whole family was very nice. And so you do feel for the family and what they've gone through. But, you know, my point is, though, I think go read that story, because it's good. You get a really good understanding that sometimes these guys are human and there's stuff going on off the ice. But then also it really makes you pull for Brock Besser to have a big year. And I think it sucks that he's injured. No.
He's had some tragedy in his life, not just last year, right? He had lost a best friend or teammate.
Yeah, three. I think it's 3 or 4 of his friends from high school had a why are we talking about this? Yeah. A horrific, horrific car accident right after he had left high school.
And it's the reason he wears number 6 and plays forward. Yeah. Because his best friend who.
I like Besser. I like Besser.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right. Our next weekly one timer. John Tavares. Speaking of injuries, John Tavares is out for 3 weeks for the Maple Leafs. What happened to him?
He pulled an oblique muscle.
Okay.
Damn obliques.
Uh huh. I actually didn't know what had happened to him, so normally I'm like
somebody had him covered.
Yeah, I didn't know who wrote this or who had it. So
that's going to be interesting because those oblique injuries can be re-injured very easily.
Okay,
I mean, you think of all the like twisting and bending you do during a hockey game. That's all your oblique muscles. And
so keep an eye on John Tavares' obliques, please.
Yes,
as the season goes on.
Just that.
Our final weekly one-timer, Spencer Knight signs a 3-year contract extension with the Florida Panthers, which will kick in, I guess, next year, right, is when his ELC ends?
Yeah, this is an extension. Yep.
Now, totally cool that they signed him for 3 years, kind of a bridge deal thing, but they signed him for $4.5 million a year, which I like Spencer Knight. I'm a big fan. I think he's a very good up-and-coming goalie.
Talked to him once,
right? Yep, but... That feels like a huge contract
to give.
That's
more than Ottinger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
To somebody who has, I mean, he hasn't like been totally unbeatable. Like he's had some hot stretches, right? But hasn't he had some real cold stretches too?
He was in the minor leagues a little bit last year.
Yeah. Right. Because
he was in the Checkers, yeah.
Right.
Our former team that we liked.
So yeah, that's interesting. I don't know.
How much are they paying Bobrovsky still?
$10 million, yeah. I think.
That's a lot of money wrapped up in the goaltending.
it's like $15 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the Kraken had a lot of money
That feels troublesome to me, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It just feels troublesome.
It feels like it. We'll see how that shapes out, plays out.
Often that salary cap situation feels like, oh, that team's in trouble, and then somehow works itself all out.
Yeah, well, and it's going
and
up,
the cap's
right?
going up, yeah. Yeah,
so.
Which we've talked about a lot, but it got a lot of air this week because...
They started to indicate how
other
much
people
it's
started
be,
to
oh, yeah,
talk
yeah.
about it. But we've been saying that for a while, right?
Right. But I think the point is that we started to see some real numbers this week. I think there's something projected.
Guidance was
really going to
be
$10 million
a year in 3 years, or 3 years from now. So.
Which is significant. That's a
even so, $15 million on a goalie still seems like a lot.
Yes, you're right. Those are our weekly one-timers. We close the show with our tweets of the week. John, your tweet of the week.
My tweet of the week comes from best friend of the pod, Chris
BFOP.
Peters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, best friend. The data proves it, by the way.
Okay.
So I'm sure a lot of us
fired at somebody, but we won't say who you're firing shots at.
I'm just saying the data. I'm not an eyeball test guy.
I just
trust the data here.
I'm well aware.
So there was a clip of a Buffalo Bills coordinator in press or wherever box they're watching the game from up in the stands.
I mean, maybe.
And he just goes ballistic and has this huge temper tantrum. So Chris Peters, best friend of the pod, retweets and quotes, "Ice cream machine is not working. Yes, again." So I like that one.
Okay. Which I can relate to because the ice cream machine in the media room is never working at Climate Pledge Arena.
Although
it was working
Tuesday night.
This week. So Brian, our photographer, he was sitting down. He comes back. He's got the cup of ice cream. And I go,
and you're like, it's working. It's
I'm
working.
Like, it's working. And he goes, yes, but the light is blinking. So go get it now. And I sprinted over there.
I like followed shortly after.
Hadn't even started eating my meal yet, and I'm like, I got to go get the ice cream before it runs out.
That was a bit of controversy last year, because it was either working or not working.
And very rarely was it working, so people were up in arms about it. Andy, your tweet of the week.
So my tweet of the week is more about the GIF that's attached to the tweet than the tweet, but I'll explain it as best I can.
All right, I'm going to actually look at yours here.
It comes from Dan Rice, who, if you don't know Dan Rice, he's a former colleague of mine. He covers the Devils and does some extensive coverage of women's hockey in the PHF. And his tweet says, "We can't get women's hockey on ESPN/TV, but hey, here's World Chase Tag," which I didn't know was a thing, but just the GIF cracked me up. It's actually just tag. Yeah. It's competitive tag. Like, they're in an arena, and guys... One dude chasing another dude. Yep. He goes around the corner. I didn't know that was a thing. And
yeah, I've seen it before. They have like a bunch of obstacles and railings and stuff that they have to
like a playground.
Dive over. And
it's almost like parkour tag.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
So I get his point. His point is well taken that that's on TV, but not women's hockey. I understand it. But I just thought that the whole thing that... That goofy gif was hilarious to me.
Good stuff. Mine comes from at Sonic Squatch. It says it's a picture of him diving through a flaming ring from when the Sonics were here with a basketball to dunk the ball. It says, "It okay if Seattle Kraken Squatch not new mascot. Squatch can't skate. Squatch can slam dunk through fire hoop, though." Which I thought was good. Some brilliant person at the Sound of Hockey Twitter account retweeted that and said, "Squatch is just such a consummate pro. He understands it's a business." So thought that was also pretty funny.
I may be wrong here. I may be out over my skis and somebody will correct me. But I thought the person who is Squatch went with Oklahoma City and he was their mascot.
Person? What do you mean person?
Yeah.
Hmm?
What do you mean person? Squatch just moved?
Okay, Squatch, I understood, went to OK City.
Is he their mascot? I don't know.
I thought I so. Maybe it was just for the first couple years.
Way
but
off.
Yeah.
Somebody out there can correct again.
Well, that one could be easily fact-checked. If only we had some database that we could check. Hey, that is episode 207. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Please do leave your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. Subscribe on Stitcher. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And we'll talk to you all next week for episode 208. Cheers.